Well, that's the best news you're going to hear all day. Jesus is on your side. Oh, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. You know, there is, you know this. There's a lot of us here at Sunrise that are going through a lot at the moment. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And we are very thankful that we have the Lord to turn to. And we are very thankful that He takes care of us, that He loves us, that He provides for us. And so as we have communed with Jesus this morning and been reminded in these songs of praise that in our faith we have lifted up to God, and the fact that you are here today lifting up your heart and your mind and submitting your soul to God, that no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what we are going through, our faith will be strong. Our faith will be strong. We hold on. We hold on and wait for that victory that we just sang about. So I am very thankful that you are here. And before we get into the scriptures this morning, I'd like to offer up a prayer for strength and a prayer for faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humble our hearts before you because you are the true God. And Father, we give you our thanks and our praise every day because you have seen fit to send your only Son to pay the price for our sin to get us back to you. Father, thank you for loving us that much. Thank you for looking at us and giving us the credit that only Jesus deserves. Thank you for rewarding our faith by being there for us in every circumstance. Thank you, Father, for giving us victory over death, for giving us victory over Satan, for giving us victory over all your enemies. And I ask, Father, this morning that you increase our faith, that you lift up when our hearts are heavy, that you strengthen our hands to serve, that you increase love. Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you for all that you have fulfilled. And we thank you for all that you have promised and will one day fulfill. Father, we are grateful to be yours. We are grateful to have been exposed to the light of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that today we will be encouraged so that tomorrow and this week that we can be your children, that we can shine your light for those around us. Father, thank you for strengthening us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for giving us your presence in our lives. Thank you, Father, for giving us your strength when we are weak. Blessed be your name. We offer this prayer through Jesus. Amen. Open your Bible to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We've been taking a look at the names of God that reveal so much about his character. And this morning we're going to see a story that... we're going to see a story basically that shows us what God does with chaos. We all know chaos. We know chaos. We know what it looks like when things around us seem to fall apart. Whether it is things in our family, things in the world around us. We know what it's like when things at work seem to be crashing in on us or falling apart. We know what it's like when it just seems like, wait, why is this one more thing hitting me right now? How many things can go wrong? How many things can pile on? We know what chaos feels like. And we also know what chaos, not only do we see it in the circumstances around us in this world, we know what chaos in our heart feels like. We know what it feels like to be unsettled. We know what it feels like to lay our head on the pillow and whether the mind won't stop racing or the worry won't go away. We know what chaos looks like, and we know what chaos feels like. And in Judges chapter 6, they were living in chaos. They're God's people, but they have turned away. They have turned away, and so God has raised up Midianites, and these Midianites have come and created a physical chaos for God's children. In fact, what Midian was doing is basically God's people are living in caves. They are hiding from the people around them. They are literally digging holes into the side of rocks and making their homes inside these spaces, just looking out to see what's it going to be next. When are they going to show up next? Because I know when they show up, it's not going to be good. And so they would try to go out and they would try to plant some crops. And they would try to work just to feed their families. And whenever they did, Midian would come through, take all their food. They would take all their produce. Anything that would grow, Midian would just show up and take it from them. This was not fun. This was not fun. Hey, you and I, we think we know chaos, but most of us live in the confines and safety of our own home, and we lock the door and we can at least breathe, right? It's all good right in here. And at this time, Israel doesn't know this. And so in Judges chapter 6, a name of God is revealed, and it is so powerful. It is so powerful here, and it is so powerful in our lives, and that is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. Now, shalom is an amazing word. It starts out as a name for God, and it would end up being used by the Jewish people, by God's people, as also a greeting. And when you've heard people say shalom to one another, right? Like, you may have heard it as Shabbat Shalom, like Shalom on the Sabbath, or as we're going to see in today's story, Yahweh Shalom, that God is peace. But Shalom itself, when we think of peace, right? This is not what we have turned it into, like, peace, man. This is not, I don't mean you any harm, you can trust me. Shalom is every aspect of your life being okay. Now think of all the different aspects of your life. I mean, you have your health, you have your wealth, you have your family, you have your work, you have everything that's just part of you. And shalom says it's all good. And so when you would wish shalom upon someone and you would tell them, shalom. It's not just, hey, have a good day, right? It's more than that. It's more than that. It's shalom is that I pray to God that all things in your life are at peace and one. That everything is pointing in the same direction. That there not be any turmoil or any two different things tugging at one another in your heart and in your life. I pray that everything is going in the right direction. It's a very powerful word. It's a very powerful word. And as we see from this story today, when this name is used for God, it's going to bring a lot of shalom to us. It's going to bring a lot of peace to our lives. Well, Judges chapter 6, Israel is in this chaos, And because of their unfaithfulness, and again, you know the story of God's people. God takes care of them. After a while, they just get comfortable. They just get lazy. They just start looking like all of their neighbors, and they start living for the things that everybody else does. And God says, well, okay, if you're not going to be true to me and you're going to start worshiping lesser things, I'm going to raise up another nation. They're going to come in here. They're going to kick you around for a while until you've had enough to where you say, all right, Lord, this isn't fun anymore. Please save us. And then God says, can do. And God uses someone to save them and raises up a leader, and the leader kicks out whoever's causing them trouble. Well, Israel has been under the terrible hand of the Midianites for 7 years. 7 years, and finally, and again, I'd like to look at Israel over and over and over and say, why do they wait so long to cry out to God? But again, they're no different than us. You and I go through a lot of stuff, and instead of crying out to God, we just cry, don't we? Right? Well, they cry out to God. God sends him a prophet. God sends him a prophet. And so before he raises up someone, he sends someone to declare what's going on. And this prophet says, and I'm in Judges chapter 6, in verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the people, and he said, hey, here's what God says. I led you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. All right, so God sends a prophet that comes to his people and says, here's the problem. I have done everything for you, and instead of fearing me, you are afraid of the gods of all the people around you. All right. Now, before this gets too personal, church, you and I are guilty of this exact same thing. Michael, we don't know any Amorites. What are you talking about? Really? You and I fear the exact same things that the lost people around us in the world fear, that they have made their gods, and you and I have been falling into the trap of fearing the exact same things. God says, I look out for you. I take care of you. I have redeemed you. I have forgiven your sins. I am all you need. And we, just like Israel, look around at the dangers of this world and say, there's something to be afraid of. We look around the world and we say, there's something to be afraid of. And in doing so, we don't call it the same language. We don't say, oh, well, I worship the God of wealth because I am afraid of poverty. We don't say, I worship the God of health because I am afraid of illness. We don't say out loud, I worship the God of safety because I am afraid of local intruders or international terrorists. But church, our hearts are the same. Our hearts are the same when we do not worship God, but we fear other things. And so God sends a prophet to Israel, and you and I need to listen up. Because if we are going to appreciate and enjoy this wonderful name that God provides for himself, we have got to understand we're in their shoes. We're in their shoes. And we fall for the same things. We fall for the exact same things. And so the prophet comes and he said, God says to him, hear it again. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. God says, quit being scared of what everybody else is being scared of. Stop it. Seriously, do not fear what they fear. All right, so now we're going to get into it. Because God has now chosen who he's going to use to take care of the local punishment. He's brought punishment upon his people, and now he's going to take care of that punishment, and we're going to see this this name for God revealed. Let's start in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, almighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and a broth he put in a pot and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the I don't know why that one gets me. Abiezrites. All right. So, the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. And he said, "All right, Gideon, you're chosen." And Gideon's got some complaints, doesn't he? I mean, you're going to tell me God is with me, but I'm looking around at today's newspaper headings. I'm looking around at my life and in the situation. I'm hiding in a cave. And if God is with me, why are all these bad things happening to me? I mean, you know, we've heard our fathers tell us about the stories of all the good that God did for them, and yet here we are. Here we are. We've got oppressors and we've got bad things happening to us. And God says, "Go in the might of yours, and you save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" So, Gideon's got a problem because God's not taking care of it. And so God tells him, "Okay, you take care of it." "Well, I can't take care of it. I mean, my father's house, we're not impressive. And me, I mean, I'm the baby of the family. No one expects anything out of me. I can't, what am I going to do?" And God says, "I'll be with you. That's what you're going to do. I'll be with you." So Gideon says, "All right, hey, look, if you just give me a minute, if you don't mind, I realize that this is kind of a big deal. Let me just go prepare a meal for you." And he goes and he prepares a meal and he cooks it. And Lord's messenger says, "All right, put it on that rock, pour the broth all over it, get it nice and wet. We know this story. And he touches it with his staff. Okay, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, right? And I love this. I love this because Gideon realizes, and he said, I'm in verse 22. Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I just realized what's going on here and who this was. This is not some just chance encounter. This is not just someone showing up going, hey, Gideon, your life's not any good. Hey, man, come on, just pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You got this. You can conquer your... This is not Tony Robbins. This is not a motivational speaker just showing up saying, hey, you know, if you just do this, you do that, you're going to fix your life. Everything's going to be great and everything's going to be smooth. God has shown up and said, you are a mighty man of valor. And you're going to do some great things. When he realizes who he's talking to, he says, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And what is God's response? What is God's response? Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Yahweh Shalom. Now, again, this is fantastic. This is fantastic because God is telling him, I am bringing you shalom. You're going to live. He's not telling him, hey, this war that I've called you to lead, we haven't even got to that. He's just saying, you save your people. We haven't even got to all that. God has told him and recognized that, yes, you have seen me face to face. You have seen the messenger of the Lord and you're still alive. And God says, shalom. I give you shalom. Now, why would he worry about that? Well, take a look back at Exodus 33. Back at Exodus 33, Moses made a request of God. He says, hey, you know, you made all these promises. Just let me see you. Let me see you. You remember what God told him? You can't, right? You can't see me and live. You can't see me. I'll show you my glory, but you can't see me. Exodus 33, go to the end. Verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So the Lord says to Moses, you can't see my face and live. But the Lord also says to Moses, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Wow. What a powerful promise. Gideon, after his encounter, he builds an altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. We have peace with God. Gideon realizes that I have just seen the face of the messenger of the Lord. I realize who is visiting me. And I'm alive. And God says, peace to you. Shalom. Shalom. In fact, back to it. Do not fear. You shall not die. So God himself is giving shalom to Gideon. God himself is saying, I'm here. I'm appearing to you. I am speaking to you. You're hearing me. You're getting my message. And I am letting you know. You just recognized me. shalom. I am giving you my peace. I am giving you my peace. Now, church, this is such a powerful thing. This is such a powerful thing that God is giving this, everything is right with you because I have declared it. And church, this is a wonderful foreshadowing and a wonderful reflection of what you and I experience in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That God says to us, everything is all right with you because I have given you shalom. I have given you peace. I have made all things right with us. So you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. That your heart can actually be settled and calm and confident in what I am saying to you because I am taking care of you. I am your peace. I am your shalom. Your shalom is not getting up and looking at the news and the newspaper and going, oh no, things are so awful. Your shalom in your heart is not looking at what your family's going through today or this week and going, oh, this is horrible. How can all these bad things be happening to us? I'm a wreck. God is saying your shalom, your peace is from me. I am the provider of you being okay. Here. What an amazing name and promise of God. Peace be upon you. Do not fear. You're going to live. Wow. What a name of God. And Yahweh Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. How many times in our life do we need to pray to God and say, God, I need your peace. You've given it to me. You offer it to me. And how many days of my life do I live without just dwelling right there? Without believing and trusting that you have given me your peace. All right, so a few things we can do, all right? Because I want us to enjoy this aspect of God's nature that he has given to us. So let's take a look at a couple things. Numbers chapter 6. Go back to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6. The end of Numbers 6, God gives Aaron, because you remember Aaron, God gives Aaron a priestly responsibility to give a blessing to his people. And so at the end of Numbers chapter 6, he says, and I'm in verse 22, Numbers 6, 22. Number 622, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. So God says to Moses to tell Aaron that this is what you say for my people. This is the blessing that you speak to them. This is the blessing that you put on them. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. All right, so where does God say that all of these good things come from? Where does he say? The Lord. All these good things come from the Lord. The shalom of God comes from God. Right? It's not the shalom of the world because the world doesn't have shalom. The world is chaos. Right? Yeah, the world is chaos. If you got at least one child this morning and you got yourselves here this morning. Your house on Sunday morning is chaos. We know what it's like. It's all around us. Not even evil. It's just, it's just a mess. It's just, right? So all this chaos going around here, and God says, the Lord is the one who blesses you. The Lord is the one who keeps you, who holds you tight. The Lord is the one who shines his face upon you, allows you to see his glory. The Lord is the one who is gracious to you, who shows you mercy. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you. In other words, the Lord looks at you and says, the Lord gives you his peace. That's the blessing that God told Moses to give Aaron, the priests, to put on his people. Church, you are God's people. You are God's people, and God gives you these blessings. He puts his peace upon you. He doesn't say, okay, well, you know who I am. You understand, so get out there and good luck. It's not what he says. He says, I am the Lord, and I have given you these good things. Shalom. It's my shalom, and I put it on you. Enjoy. Enjoy. Now, you and I fight the shalom, right? You and I can find all the reasons why we shouldn't be at peace. We find all the reasons why we shouldn't be at peace with each other, right? And instead of showing mercy, instead of being like God, instead of forgiving each other, how many times? Oh, I don't know, 70 times 7? Just over and over again, instead of just being fountains of mercy, we nitpick and find reasons not to be at peace with others. Well, I can't have shalom with them. Why? Because they're annoying. I can't have shalom with them. Why? Because they don't agree with me politically. I can't have shalom with them. Why? Because have you seen them? I can't be at shalom with them. Why? Because, oh boy, they did me wrong and fooled me once. All that stuff that we do, all that stuff that we do that God doesn't do, all that stuff that you and I do to say, I just won't have shalom. All that stuff that you and I do and God says, well, that's not for me because I'm giving shalom. I'm giving peace. I'm giving peace. And you and I, sometimes, we'd rather sit in the enemy's camp. We'd rather sit in the enemy's camp and say, well, where's all this peace that God promised? Where's all this good that God said it was going to be good. God said, just put your hope in Jesus and it's all going to be fine. Well, it doesn't feel fine. Sounds a lot like Gideon, doesn't it? Well, Lord, if you're so good, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? And God, in the end, he says, you know who I am, right? Shalom. I'm letting you live. You know you're drawing breath, the breath that I give you to make these complaints against me? You do realize that, right? Yeah, I do, Lord. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for letting me live. Thank you for letting me live. God has let Gideon see him and live. This is a blessing, so that we're at peace. We're good. We're good. One more. Let's take a look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, starting in verse 1. 26:1. Isaiah 26:1 says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. All right, so Isaiah makes the confession that if we will put our trust in God at all times, for all things, 100%, he will give us shalom. Why do we not have shalom? Because we're withholding from God. We do not focus the things that just drive us crazy, make us upset. We're not giving them to God. You and I know it's true. God is the one who provides shalom. God is our rock. God is the one who takes care of everything. Even when it seems to be chaotic around us. Even when inside our hearts just go, oh, God is the one who has it. God is the one who has us. And we experience his shalom when you keep him. Verse 3, Isaiah 26:3, you may need to highlight. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You and I are just like Peter walking on the water. Because Jesus walks on the water and it's no big deal. And Peter walks on the water until he looks at the waves. And then, help me, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. I'm sinking. This is hard. This is not easy. Well, it was easy when you were looking at me. Well, I know, but thunder. I mean, I know. Yeah, it was easy when I was focused on you, but you know, waves. God says, when you keep your focus on me, perfect peace is possible. Perfect peace, shalom. Complete shalom, which is what shalom is. It's possible when I focus on God, when I take my focus off of God, you and I know it. We're just like Peter. We start to sink. We start to go under. And the deeper the water gets, the more we cry out and go, oh, this is awful. How do I get out of this? God says, well, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Underline it. Put it on your fridge. I don't know. This one's probably a forehead tattoo. Just get it backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can read it. Right? This is a very, very powerful verse. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Church, when we focus on what God has done, we have faith to get through anything. When we have faith to focus on who God is, all of our objections are met with shalom. God is the answer. God is the answer. We got to let him be God. We got to let him be Yahweh Shalom. Yeah, Michael, but I got this going on in my life. Uh-huh. Yahweh Shalom. God is peace. But Michael, I'm really concerned about this. Sure. Yahweh Shalom. This isn't right over here. Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. We struggle with this, don't we? I mean, we struggle with our own. And we really struggle with other people's. Right? Because, you know, some of us are walking around. We're just the shalomest, shalomiest people just on the block. We're just oozing shalom, right? We are cool. And then we come in contact with somebody who is not shaloming. Right? I mean, I imagine when Jesus crossed the sea and he comes across the dude with all the demons. Everybody in town's like, whoo, that guy's got no shalom, right? He has no chill. No chill at all. Just stay away from him. And Jesus doesn't stay away from him because why? Because he trusts God. He trusts God. And wherever he goes, shalom. Church, you and I can live that same life. That's what we're called to. We are called to Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. That's how you and I, just same people, neither one of us special, neither one of us super spiritual, one of us can declare God is peace. And one of us can say, well, here's all the reasons why I'm not at peace. And you and I come together and we worship right next to each other on Sundays. Right? And one of us is just, and one of us is just, and sometimes the looks at the, you go, well, you don't have any problems, do you? Well, isn't just God just shining on you? If you had my problems, don't wish problems on other people. If you're going through problems, you know it's not fun, right? You don't want anyone else to go through that. And if you're at peace, what do you want for those around you? Peace. You can't take away all the problems. You can't. You know how many people are here this morning that are going through something pretty difficult? Several. There's several right here in this number this morning. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. And look, we can be here for each other, and we should. We can pray for each other, and we better be. And we can encourage each other, but the most important thing, the Lord is peace. Romans chapter 5. We'll wrap it up here. Oren read for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says to the church, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we have shalom with God through Jesus. Jesus is our peace. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, so that I can see God face to face and not die. That's shalom. Because I understand who God is. I understand that He is holy. I understand that He is perfect. I understand that He has created all things. I understand that everything belongs to Him. I understand He can do whatever He wants to whomever He wants. He told Moses, I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. And if I got to raise up some bad people to make an example for you so that you'll appreciate my mercy, I can do that too. And if I got to make you hurt just a little bit so that you will get your focus back on me, I have no problem with that either. You and I live in a culture, in a chaotic world that spends so much energy wagging the finger at God, telling Him how He should or should not act, that we have bought into that false god. Like you and I can tell God anything. He is God. We are not. He is God. We are not. And so when we come to Him, our hearts are just filled with thanksgiving because Jesus Christ died for our sins and we have put our full hope and faith in the Son of God to pay the price for us and to get rid of all of our sin that we couldn't get rid of ourselves, because it doesn't matter how many animals we kill. It doesn't matter how much blood we let. It doesn't matter. It doesn't balance the scales or somehow make us worthy of God's favor. We put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are at peace with God. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. You shall not die. Isn't that what God said to Gideon? Isn't that what Jesus said to His disciples? Peace be upon you. There is nothing to fear. You will not die. Do you believe this? Well, I do, because we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has become our shalom with God. And look what the verses that he read. I won't read the whole thing for you, but you can go back and read it this week. He says, our faith, justified, access to grace, and we rejoice in hope. And the Spirit of God, love fills our hearts because of the Spirit of God. We are reconciled by the death of Jesus, and we are saved by the life of Jesus. Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Those are the promises of God, the shalom that he brings to us in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Yahweh Shalom. It's a very powerful name and a very amazing name and a very beautiful name and a very awesome name. And boy, if you and I can focus on God instead of our problems, it makes all the difference. If you and I can focus on God, then we will experience and live that shalom. It's the world's chaos. And some days, oh, I can breathe. There's a little less chaos. And some days, whoa, there is more chaos than I can handle. Okay. The Lord is still shalom. But the world, the Lord is shalom. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. If you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and experience that kind of shalom, we invite you to do so. And if you are in Jesus Christ, we invite you to enjoy the shalom that God has given you in Jesus Christ. Live it. Enjoy it. Share it. If you need to respond for anything, let us know.